Actually, I'll have this one.
If that works, wonderful, because I roam a little bit. Wonderful to see you all here this morning. All these glorious faces. Who happened to mention to somebody that they were going to be at church Sunday morning? Who happened to mention during the week that they were going to church? Yep. If that person wasn't a person who usually goes to church, what's the image that you think they had in their mind when you said that? Take a look around you now. Just, what do you notice? Do you notice the cream walls, the carpet, the way that the seats are organized? There's a strange person up here with a mic speaking. Very strange, says Salnoa. Hold that image. I'll hold my notes. You know, when most people hear the word church, they automatically think of a building. And for us who usually gather here, it's a little blue building on Sawyer's Arms Road. But for some people, it's a cathedral made out of cardboard. And the Bible, when we read it, it doesn't clearly define what those sacred spaces where man and God dwell together should look like. We have all these amazing different images of what they can look like. What's the very first one we're given? Can you think of that first place where man and God dwelt together? In the garden. We have this image of Eden. The Bible doesn't give us this one blueprint to rule them all. After Eden, we have the temples made by Moses, by Solomon, then later on by Herod. We have talk of synagogues and villages. And then later in the epistles, we have the early church meeting where? In their everyday ordinary houses, not in these purpose-built churches like we do today. And what's our final vision that we are given with such hope of what that final place will look like when man and God dwell together again? At the end of Revelation, we have that beautiful image of the holy sacred city coming back down to earth. And God's kingdom being fully established here and us being under the reign of God. And it's just this beautiful imagery. So it's a good clue when we're reading passages and there are so many different descriptions of something that the passages are descriptive, they're not prescriptive. That they are giving us examples that we could follow and not giving us an absolute directive. There's no one way that we need to organize what our church buildings look like. It's on a as-needs basis. There are lots of different ways, and all of them show an amazingly different aspect of our wonderfully just complex and awesome God. But who here knows that church is more than just a building? And I'd venture to say it's not a building at all. Who around you, when you looked around, when you were asked, first and foremost noticed the people? I heard smiles. What is the church? He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It is the people. It is the people. It is the people. You know, last year we did a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And there, those bolded out words in that last stanza, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. You know, the word Catholic there is small c, Steve. Where is it? It's a small c. And it doesn't mean the Catholic Church, big C, which is led by the current Pope Francis. Although it includes that. And the word church there doesn't mean a building, whether it's a blue building or whether it's made of cardboard. It means the united body of believers throughout time, throughout the world, that are found hidden in Christ. That's all of us here today. That's all those who have gone beyond the veil already. And all those yet to come. We're all united in Christ as his church. But uniting together takes a little bit of organization, doesn't it? Who here lives with someone, has ever lived with someone, works with someone, does anything with another person? I see a whole sea of hands there. That's everyone. And when we do something with other people, it takes a little bit of organization, doesn't it? Otherwise, problems occur. Things get missed and there's a little bit of barnacle rubbing as we get rid of all the curveballs. So over the next couple of Sundays, as Adam said, we're looking at some of the ways we organise church, our church life together, because there's reason for it. We have the scriptures that inform us, and some of also our traditions, which inform how we unite together in Christ. And it's pretty cool. And the first one we're looking at today is baptism. And it's not a bad place to start, is it? Because we are the Hahi Iri Iri o Papanui. We are the Papanui Baptist Church. So, just coincidentally, Steve's getting baptized today, which is pretty good. And just as many people have many different reasons, and there are many different paths that we take to reach the point of baptism, we're going to get to hear of some of Steve's story soon, which is going to be great. But Luke tells us that Jesus himself was presented by his parents at the temple when he was 8 days old. It was what the Jewish law said to do. And there he was consecrated to God. You know, words were spoken over him by Simeon and by Anna, the prophetess. And it was said that he would be a light and revelation to the Gentiles and glory to his people Israel. And some traditions would refer to that as a baptism. In our Baptist tradition, this finds its way into our church life as a dedication, where a family and the church community come together and worship, and they ask God's grace be present upon the life of that child until such a time as the child steps out in obedience on their own. An infant dedication is a beautiful example of how God calls us as individuals and as a community, as we as the church say to the parents, with our help. And it says, Jesus grew in stature and a knowledge of his father. And about 30 years after that temple dedication, we find him in a very different spot at the Jordan River. And it says, when all of the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So Jesus, having been consecrated at the temple, was now stepping out in his own conviction. This is in his own steam, his own belief. And that's why sometimes in our Baptist tradition, you might hear it called a believer's baptism. Jesus was there declaring before all and before God that he was personally choosing to be united with him and to be obedient and to following all of his ways. And then the instructions that he left us, he gave to the 11 remaining disciples just before he ascended into heaven, that we now, the church of this generation, follow. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded them. So in baptism, the church, us, all together, we have the role of affirming this morning the decision that Steve has to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism and into life with him. And Steve, as the individual, is publicly committing to Jesus and his people, his church. All believers united in Christ throughout time, throughout place. And just as that earlier dedication ceremony, this too is a beautiful example of how Jesus calls us to step into obedience to him, both as an individual and as a community, as we gather around and say, with our help. And that's what we're here to do as a church with Steve today. What Steve has chosen to do before us. It's a sacred act. And it is an act of church life founded in worship that unites us all in Christ. So where is Steve? He's run away. There he is. You want to come in? Are you ready? We would love to hear some of your story.
I'm Steve Young, and I'd like to share a brief story with you. Firstly, I want to thank my whānau for coming today. I'm probably surprised that I even came back to church. thank you for being with me. I used to come to this church as a child, attending Sunday school, Christian camp, and Bible class. It's all held next door. And I also witnessed my mother's baptism there many years ago. From a very early age, I was aware of Jesus, and I accepted him as my saviour at one of the Christian camps. I felt a holy presence in those early days. Then I drifted away during the schooling years, creating a disconnect with church life, preferring to indulge in exciting, experimental things and developing bad habits along the way. Although Jesus was always there, I had moved him into the background, barely acknowledging him. At various times, curiosity led me to explore Buddhism, spiritualism, the Tao, and then finally joining an international group in India, touring with a guru everyone called Mother. Strangely enough, all these alternative practices acknowledged Jesus, but they failed to recognize his significance. It became evident to me that all roads lead back to Jesus, despite the wondrous things I had seen elsewhere. My life seemed to go in cycles, and I found myself following lifestyle trends again, which caught up with me in alcohol addiction. I was conscious of the effect this was having on my loving family and my health. I struggled to change. My selfishness overtook everything. Each morning driving to work, I prayed for the Holy Spirit to intervene, to help me break the chains and guide me. However, at the end of my shift, I would sit in my car holding a can of alcohol. I could feel in that moment that I had a choice, and it was there because of my earlier prayer for help. It was like a pause button, if only I chose to use it. If I had not prayed for help earlier, that moment of calmness was not there. It took some time before I put faith and trust in that help I had asked for. And when I finally did, I simply drove home, turning my back on the alcohol, and each day repeating that strengthened me, and the calmness within me grew. I stayed connected to that calmness through prayer. I have always known and felt Jesus was there, and that I was meant to have a closeness with him. So, the baggage I have accumulated along the way needs to be put to rest now, to clear the way for my renewed relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I love hearing testimony, and just always amazed. I don't know about you, but every time you hear the story of Jesus weaving and drawing someone, and you just see the years and years of journey that Jesus walks and woos and chases and hunts down. And so we often quite results focused people, and just that whole journey is one of Jesus walking and interactions with different people along the way. So whatever you do, however you serve, whatever you say, however you live, however you speak, don't ever think that it falls to the ground wasted. God does not let anything fall to the ground wasted. And if they are wasted, he picks them up again at some point anyway. While Colleen and Steve head out to get changed, I'm going to introduce, I guess, another of our church life distinctives. And again, we talk about membership. I just have one slide, don't I? So when Steve comes back, he's asked to become a formal member of our church, a member not just of the universal church by baptism, but also a member of this local expression. But why do we have membership? Why does the Baptist Church here emphasize what we call formal membership or covenant membership? Well, it's one of the ways that we structure our church. And again, just as as Scripture has given us many descriptions of what the church looks like and what our sacred spaces might look like, it also describes different ways the church has been organized over time, depending on the needs, depending on the context, depending on the different group of people. In the Old Testament, we see how Israel was organized along familial lines, and they created small communities of people, and they knew who they belonged to because it was based on familial lines. But there was a sense of, we are part of this group of people. This is where we are covenanting. And in the New Testament church, we see Gentile families coming to faith in Christ. And so things had to adapt. It couldn't be the Jewish way. And so they had to adapt and go, well, what does being part of a covenant community look like? Now we have a much broader group of people coming in. Because membership was not about family lines, but it was about faith in Jesus, faith in the risen Christ. And as the church grows, Paul and his disciples, they respond as needs arise. And in Antioch, we see elders are appointed. And then in Philippi, we see overseers and deacons and people that are given different roles and responsibilities in a church. And these are people, we see later on, bishops are added to the mix as the church grows and needs to be organized in different ways. And it says in Acts, all these people are taken from the local community to say, hey, these are people that we appoint and we put in different positions and places, but we are part of this community together. And it says in Acts that the church thrived in this type of care in response to need. And we know it did because we're here 2,000 years later that as the church organized, there are different expressions. And so we see different denominations and different expressions of church life. And that's not bad. Those are great things. Those are different flavors, and each are doing that in different ways. And here we are still gathering in the name of Jesus, many different churches around here, discerning together, listening to his voice and seeking the direction we should go. And we are here seeking, what is our part? What is our personal PBC mission within the Great Commission to go and make disciples? And who remembers how the Baptist tradition was founded? Who remembers? I've only learned in recent years. I've been a Baptist for a long time, and I got to learn, and it's a really rich history of where we came from. And it started with the Anabaptists during the persecution of the church in the early Reformation era. And one of the beliefs that they held really, really dearly to was the understanding that Jesus was present and his will should be discerned within the gatherings of all people, that every person who had faith in Jesus was able to discern Jesus for that community as well. It wasn't just in the hands of one or two. And that this discernment should be done within the gathering of all people. And that all members were equal in the sight of God as a priesthood of all believers. They were persecuted, they were killed, and they were imprisoned as a result. It was a dangerous time to meet, to worship. And so people covenanted with each other in membership before God as a way to show that they meant business about being committed to one another, even in the face of persecution and difficulty. And so, as I wait for Steve to come back and we move into that process, I would love us to consider if being a member here is not about signing up to a particular card carrying kind of thing. If you've grown up in a different tradition, being a member here doesn't mean that you're betraying that tradition or you're turning away. All it says is, hey, this is a place that I want to enter into covenant relationship with. And we'll see as we go through with Steve how simple that is. But there is something really powerful about saying, you can come to church and you can be part of a community and you can give and you can serve, and we can say, well, why do I need to do this? Two things. One is, the way that we've structured ourselves as a church is that because we so value discerning together and making decisions together, big decisions are made, and it's by the membership. The way that the elders are called, the way that the pastors are called, it's the church membership that does that. And of course, then you have to say, well, you know, how long has someone been coming? Should they be a member? So we have to have some kind of practical way of saying, you know, who is invited into that discernment? Who is invited in and able to, in this case, sometimes we do have a vote. Sometimes the membership votes on different things, but we're not a democracy. It's a way of saying, hey, this is how we discern. We are a theocracy in that we come, or a Christocracy. We come before Jesus and we say, Jesus, what is it that you want for our community? And so right now we have 120 formal members, and these are people that have said, hey, this is where I am for this season. Who knows what will happen in coming seasons? You're not bound here for life. But it's saying, hey, I'm here for this season. I've been called to be part of this community. And I'd love to make a covenant commitment to this community and have them make a covenant commitment to me. Because it's not just about people committing to the church. It's about us committing to one another as well. Sorry? We're ready. I'm ready. Yeah, so I was just waiting for you to appear. You've been saved. There we go. I was about to head onto the other aspects of... Steve, welcome. Thanks for your testimony. That was, thanks for sharing that. It means a lot. So, Steve, like baptism, membership at PBC is something that the church does with you and you do with us. We commit to following God together, to seek to obey him and worship him in the ways known to us and in the ways yet to be known to us. It's another beautiful example of how God calls us to step into obedience to him both individually and as a community, as we say, with our help and with your help. So thank you, and I just look forward to the ways in which Jesus will make himself known to us through you and the things that you have to say and the way that he speaks to you. You are a part of this community, and we will look forward with anticipation with what Jesus says in and through you to bless us and in how we can bless you and your family in return on your journey as well. So after we've said, so we're going to go through, for some of you who have been here before, we go through a series of slides where we talk about Steve's covenant commitment to Papa New Baptist Church, and then we have our part to play as well, where we will repeat some things also. And after we've said these words, if you would like to come up, and again, we'd love to pray for him in his membership journey. So we've prayed for him during his baptism, but we'd like to invite a few people, maybe some elders, to come up and just pray for Steve and just to invite Jesus to use him as part of our community here. Later on, Steve's going to be filling in the membership book and the baptism book, and we've got a little folded, a little piece of paper down here. It's called Keep Calm. It's my baptism day. So if you have a word of encouragement, or God said something, or you just feel, hey, there's a message here for Steve, or maybe you're one of those people who prayed up the front and you'd like to make a little record of that in here, come in and write after the service as well, just as an encouragement for Steve to keep as well. Let's go. So, Steve, are you ready? Do you believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called together with other disciples and that you are now called to covenant with this local church?
I do.
Will you accept the privileges and responsibilities of church membership? Will you be faithful in worship and prayer, steadfast in service and witness to the love of God? Will you share in its mission, encourage and support its leaders and other members, and seek to always represent Christ to those around you?
I will. This is my calling as a disciple of Jesus, in company with his people, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful. So let's stand together as we make our commitment to Steve. We can all read this together. We promise to pray for you, to encourage and support you, for together we are disciples of Jesus Christ and members of his body. Let us walk together before the Lord in ways that are known and yet to be made known, gathering for worship, seeking the mind of Christ, praying for God's kingdom, and sharing in its life and witness. We are family together. Praise be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let's can we invite some people to come up and pray around with Steve today.
3 acts for today. Church life through communion. Uniting in Christ through communion. So I've been reading a little bit of Dietrich Bonhoeffer lately. He's a German. Who's heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Yep, he was a German theologian who was executed by the Nazis just before the end of World War II. And in his series of lectures, which are titled Christology, he implores us, the church, to always give priority to the question of who over how. And when we do have to question the how, we always do it through the lens of who is. It's only when we know who God is and what he has done for us that we can find the right, appropriate answers to see the incredible relevance that the gospel has for every single part of our lives. So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he sat with his disciples, and he gave them this ordinance that we call the Last Supper, the Lord's Table, communion. And how we do it changes from place to place and from time to time. Sometimes it's an active coming up to the table as a response to God. Sometimes we hand it around as a way to serve others and to notice those people around us. Sometimes it's little cubes of bread and sometimes it's wafer, not here, but in some places it's wine. With us, it's juice. I've had it atop a mountain in Guilin with water and a rice cake. But this morning, I just encourage us to come to this table and put aside the thought of the how and give priority to the question of who. Because it's Jesus himself who calls us to this table this morning. Just as he's called his church before us and will continue to call his church not yet. Jesus himself invites us to stop a while and to commune with him. And we remember that his breaking into history, we remember his body breaking, his sacrifice was motivated by love. And so as we come to the table this morning, may our motivation be the love of Christ. And may the Spirit continue to awaken in us that longing for intimate communion, to know the love of the Father and to participate in the life and ministry of Christ. And so we remember on the night of the Passover, Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together, and while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body." And he took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them saying as they drank, "This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So this will be handed out. But yet I say, come to the table as you get these elements and remember whose body was broken to provide it and who has called you to commune with him today. Can I have the...